When the bottom of life drops out, do you have at least one trusted friend who would answer your call in the middle of the night? Hi, this is Chuck Swindoll. If at all possible, please stay with us through the entire program today. I'll describe what it means to be a 911 friend.
Innocent young children look up to dad and mom like the king and queen of the household. Parents are granted the respect they deserve. And in the next stage, preteens and teens seek out their parents for advice, direction, and affirmation, even as the obvious signs of independence begin to appear. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll talk about the next stage of life, when our children become adults and leave home. In this next season, our role as parents changes dramatically. Chuck Swindoll offers biblical suggestions for parenting grown-up kids. We'll begin with prayer.
We all realize, our Father, that we have been eminently blessed. Many of us with great and godly parents, and how thankful we are for their hand on our shoulders, for their face in our faces, for their arms around us, for their loving and essential reproofs, for their wise counsel and their warnings. We thank you as well as we grew up that we have all had teachers who have known us by name, who have loved us, and who have taught us, not simply the subject from the classroom, but by their own lives, the importance of character, the value of growing up and becoming a mature and responsible adult. And so for those today who teach, we pray. Those who teach in public and private schools, those who teach in their homes, those who teach in graduate school level and advanced courses in universities, those who help young men and women find their way toward advanced degrees in life. Thank you for each one. Thank you for the discipline of their own knowledge and the way they now mentor us who are growing and learning and discovering truths we would not otherwise know. We thank you especially for Jesus, our Master and Lord. We do run to Christ when plagued by sin or haunted by shame. We run to him in the deep needs of our lives. And we acknowledge in doing so we cannot make it on our own. This is a desperate and desolate age in which we live. And while there are those who do live a life worth following, there are many who do not. And we pray that as a result of our influence and the honesty of our character, the integrity of our hearts, they will be drawn to Christ. May the truth that we uncover from these verses out of Ephesians take flight and make their way deep within our lives and ultimately through our lips and touching the lives of others. We realize that so much of what we do has a price connected to it. We could not carry out a ministry without financial assistance. And thank you for faithful men and women who sit in this room today, who realize that God owns it all. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, including the money we have in our possession, in our bank accounts, in our investments, In the name of Christ, we give these gifts and we offer up this prayer. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. You have instant access to the many resources available on today's topic by going to insightworld.org. And now Chuck Swindoll with suggestions for parenting grown-up kids.
I would like to begin with what I've called some relational essentials that don't change. Relational essentials that are always true, okay? Number one, no challenge in any family is impossible. I know some of you face the unbearable. You are living with what may feel like an impossible situation, but I have words of hope for you. With God, nothing will be impossible. Here's the second. No child of any age is in authority over his parents. No child of any age is in authority over his parents or her parents. They are to be honored and respected, not because they are perfect, not because they haven't made some terrible mistakes, but because they are simply mom and dad. Here's the third. No person in the family is independent of other family members. No person in the family is independent of the other family members. We're all interrelated. The family is a unit like teeth in gears that work together. Number four, very important. No issue should be dealt with in the flesh. No issue, no problem in your family should be dealt with in the power of the flesh. This is called carnality. If you are reactionary, you're going to make a mess of your family relationships. So, with those four essentials in place, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 32. Let's draw from these verses six two-word principles that apply to all who are in the process of rearing now grown kids. Number one, from verse 25, speak truth. That's right from the scriptures. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Let's use the word family member, with his or her family member. In other words, when you are dealing with your grown-up adult in the family, you're to talk straight. You're to tell the young adult the truth. Now look at the next verse. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. How unusual those words are. See the words be angry? It's a command. Get mad. How about that? But that's not my principle. Wait a minute before you write that down. My principle is be passionate. Be passionate. And you might put in parenthesis, don't be passive. Don't be passive. Admittedly, we rarely handle our anger correctly. Often it's a temper blow up. Sometimes it's filled with curse words or ugly, caustic comments. How inappropriate. If I may switch gears for a moment, I can illustrate it with a recent experience with the whole 9/11 date that rolled around again this September. I remembered, and I was once again enraged at what happened. In the middle of my thoughts, I received in an email a page from a friend of mine who is a 3-star general in the Air Force, retired. A man Cynthia and I deeply respect, who is on our board at Insight for Living. He sent this piece to me, written by David French. I don't know David, but I appreciate what David writes. Must be a friend of our board member friend. Listen. Every year on the eve of 9/11, my wife and I show our older kids pictures from the day. And every year I feel a fresh sense of rage at the attack. I've said this before, but if there is one lesson I learned during my own deployment, it's that our enemy is far more evil than most Americans imagine. Their evil should trigger rage, a controlled rage, and it certainly does for our soldiers downrange. A morally depraved country attacked like we were on 9/11 would lash out wildly and indiscriminately, annihilating its enemies and anyone in their proximity. A morally weak country would shrink back, timidly complying with terrorist demands. But our nation has largely responded in the right way, with a righteous anger that has in part sustained us through these years of continual conflict. Every September 11, I'm proud of my country. I'm proud of the men and women who sacrificed themselves on Flight 93, our first counterattack in the war on terror. I'm proud that the entire day of September 11, 2001, was marked and characterized by profound examples of American heroism, compassion, and decency. On this 11th anniversary, when he writes this piece, take a moment to view once again the images, not just of that terrible day, but also of the war that has followed. And when you do, remember you have a right to be angry, and that anger should renew your resolve. We had a missionary speaker during my years in Dallas Seminary as a student. I forget his message that day, but I will never forget 4 words he left with us. Never forget these words. Passivity is an enemy. Don't forget that. Verses 26 and 27 are urging us not to remain neutral about whatever happens. As your children grow up, be careful about what you shrug your shoulders to. Be passionate about the things you really believe in, things that deserve appropriate and righteous indignation. Don't hide that. They need to witness that. You become a passive parent, you are the problem in the home. And homes today are filled with passive parents who sort of yawn their way through the kids' growing up years. How wrong that is. Children need to know that their parents feel passionate about things. And again, hear the whole message. It is not an out-of-control rage. It isn't a temper tantrum. In fact, if you look closely, you'll notice being angry is a command. But it says, don't let it get out of control and don't go to bed on it. But get passionate about what's important. This is important to us as a family. We will not operate like this. You will not get away with that sort of attitude or actions. Be passionate. Be passionate. There's a third. Verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. So here it is. Stop stealing. Boy, the list is getting really great, isn't it? I mean, we started off rather mild, speak the truth, and then we talk about getting passionate. Now I'm telling you not to steal. It may seem an inappropriate statement to make to parents who have adult children. It isn't. It isn't. How can we steal from our children? We can steal their freedom. We can steal the freedom of our adult children to decide things on their own. We can so control them that they haven't learned how to make wise or responsible decisions because we've stolen from them out of our intense control of their lives. Every wise parent fosters the idea of independent thinking. A person doesn't just suddenly, when he turns 21 or she turns 21, become a responsible adult. They've learned along the way responsibility. We steal from our growing up kids if we continue doing for them what they need to start doing for themselves. I am right now finishing a wonderful book. I love the title, Tough Guys and Drama Queens. Isn't that a great title? How Not to Get Blindsided by Your Child's Teen Years. Mark Gregston ministers at a camp for children, for teenagers who have lost control of their lives, and he helps them find their way back. The man knows what he's talking about. Listen to his words regarding this matter of independence. One day your precious daughter will walk out your door and life will never be the same, as she is no longer under your rule. Or it may be a son who leaves home and heads to college, the military, or a new job, and you know his boyhood days are over. At that moment, it won't matter whether his room is clean, the condition of her bathroom, whether he came in by the curfew, or what music he or she is listening to now. It won't matter if they watched too much television or played too many video games or made some mistakes along the way, or whether he or she didn't study as much as they should have. What will matter is whether your child is still dependent on you to make it in life, whether your relationship with her has helped her develop the skills she needs to stand firm against what she will encounter in the next chapter of her life. Listen to me, parents. This is all important. You prepare them along the way. In fact, Gregston goes on to give some examples. Here are some things you can require from your children when they turn 13. Listen to the list. Getting themselves out of bed with an alarm clock. Picking up their own clothing every morning. Getting ready for school and eating breakfast. Getting to school on time. Doing their own laundry. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Cleaning their own rooms, even if you have a housekeeper. Doing their homework without your having to nag them to do it. Making their own snacks after school. When they're 13, they ought to be on their way with this. Are you helping make that happen? No wonder when they leave the home, their clothes are left all over their house. No wonder their bathroom looks a mess. No wonder they're irresponsible as citizens. No wonder they get so many tickets when they drive. They learned about it by your covering for them at every point. He goes further. As children get older, I encourage you to give them more things to do, more decisions to make, more opportunities for them to have to figure out what to do, more opportunity to assume responsibility for their lives. Here are some other training focus points you might want to consider. Now, this is the next level. Handling finances, making good decisions, breaking the mindset of entitlement, keeping relationships when there's conflict, handling stress and resolving disagreements, not always having to be right, what to do when you're wrong, treating a friend with kindness, finding the right spouse, the value of a good day's work, standing for what you believe, essentials of a disciplined life, integrity and keeping your word, finding the job that fits your skill set, making money and living within your means, changing a tire on a car, and how to ask for help. very insightful list, and I think it might strike a note of concern in some hearts of you who listen today. Were you prepared for life like that? I'll tell you another way we steal from our kids. We steal by not letting them suffer the consequences for wrong. I mean, they did wrong. There's a price to pay. I mentioned getting a ticket. You drive too fast, you get a ticket. Mom and daddy don't pay the ticket. You break the law, you wind up behind bars. Mom and dad don't bail you out. I like the way one guy wrote it. You do the crime, you do the time. All right. We're so quick to take away the pain of it all. Oh, wait. It's in the pain we learn life's best lessons. We learn them the hard way. One of my favorite questions that I often ask in a group, just getting acquainted with each other, what are some lessons you learned the hard way? What are they? You know why you learned them? Because your parents weren't there to take care of whatever was the problem. You steal from your children if you steal from them the pain of consequences. Privileges are provided. They're not demanded. And every privilege is conditional, depending on the boundaries parents set. So stop stealing from your children. Here's number 4. We're down to verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. Ready for the next one? Stop yelling. Families that yell at each other are no longer in harmony with each other, and they're no longer growing together. They're growing apart. Yelling doesn't make the kid hear what we have to say. Anytime you find it necessary to scream or yell at an adult child, you've lost control. You're in lockdown. They're not learning. Unwholesome words include cursing, threatening, sarcastic put-downs, caustic comments that cause your adult kid to disrespect you. Parents who yell encourage kids to rebel. Before long, there is such disrespect that you realize you really have lost control. So look closely at this. Let no unwholesome word, the word means putrid. It is used for rotting vegetables or meat. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That's the negative. But only such a word as is good for building them up. Yelling does not make it right.
Four very helpful suggestions for parenting grown-up kids. And there's much more ahead. You're listening to Insight for Living and Chuck Swindoll. Online, we're at insightworld.org. I'll explain how you can receive a copy of today's complete message on the family in just a moment. But first, this important comment from Chuck.
Do you have a 911 friend? By that, I mean someone you could call in the middle of the night when your world is falling apart. When it's urgent, and there's nothing more comforting than knowing you have at least one friend who would drop anything to be at your side. And that's how I feel about those who support Insight for Living. From the beginning, God has provided a trusted group of loyal friends who faithfully stand alongside us. If you're among them, Cynthia and I, along with our entire Insight for Living family, express our deep gratitude for you, my friend. Well, today we need to punch those three numbers and sound the alarm. June 30 is coming. It's the end of our financial year, and we're calling on our 911 friends to step forward and help us out. Nothing will have a greater impact on our future than a generous gift from you. That's right, from you, while we're trying to reach our end-of-the-year financial goals. Here I am again asking, can I count on you to give? I hope so. We promise to remain faithful to our calling. Day in and day out, you can count on us to uphold God's Word as the only true source of insight for living. We'll be right here, declaring the truth. But your help is required. And yes, your 911 friendship and confidence in us is treasured. Thanks so much for responding today.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. Choose one of two convenient methods. If you're listening in the United States, call right now 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. As an added incentive to respond today, we put together a collection of six messages from Chuck, the most highly requested sermons of the year. This CD or MP3 collection is yours when you give a donation of any amount. It's called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. In these sermons, Chuck talks about these two key areas of life, the family and the workplace. Listen to a couple of these titles, Shaping the Will with Wisdom, What to Do When You've Blown It, and The Qualities of a Good Boss. And now you can listen to these powerful sermons in your car, at home, or in the office. It's also a wonderful way to introduce Chuck's teaching to a friend or family member. The audio collection is called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. It's yours when you give a special fiscal year-end donation. Please let us know where you hear Insight for Living each day. If you're listening in the United States, you can give a donation of any amount and make your request by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Lots of our friends tell us they enjoy having access to Chuck's teaching through the convenient mobile app. To download this application to your mobile device, you'll find all the details at insight.org/app.
The preceding message, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.